This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good Tuesday morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek back in Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings, and I'm still in Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network. It's February 3rd, episode 1096, brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products. Good morning, Horse World.
Good Tuesday morning to you, and I do mean a good Tuesday morning.
Well, if you insist on being accurate about it.
You know, only somebody with perfect comedic timing could produce this much energy in one shot.
Good Tuesday morning, Anamino. Hey, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us. It's an exciting week for me because I've got a competition next weekend, Glenn, but I could not be more inspired to ride crazy horses and crazy fences than I am now. Like, I am at the peak of my inspiration, and I'll tell you why. I got to go witness a clinic. I audited a clinic. I'm so mad I didn't ride in it, but I didn't really find out about it in time, blah, blah, blah. But I went and watched Lucinda Green teach cross-country yesterday.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Okay. She is like a living legend. We need to do a Legends episode with her, actually. I thought about it because, I mean, I don't think she's old enough, but she is the one. She's the chick who rode in eventing when eventing was crazy. She said that she was explaining going up to water jumps, and she's like, well, back in the day, if you went that fast at that water, you'd flip over because the water was so deep. You know, like, this is when eventing was out to kill you. And I will add,
there weren't too many women in at top-level eventing in those days either. She was one of the very few.
She has won badminton 6 different times on 6 different horses. I was totally starstruck, and she's British, and the accent was great, and it just absolutely go around, try it again, you know, again. And she told this story. There was a girl who was coming up to the jumps kind of hunched over, and she's like, I tell you, I was 12 years old, and I had an instructor, and he told me to stick your tits out. I was 12. I was mortified. It was so embarrassing. Stick your tits out when you're coming to the jump. Stick them out. It was so great. And she's like this super tiny, you know, like really soft-spoken. And then she'll say something like that. She's like the George Morris of the polite England version of George Morris.
She tells it like it is. She doesn't put up with any crap either.
She was so freaking cool, you guys. If you ever get the opportunity to ride or go watch her, if you're an eventer, if you're not, there were non-eventers there auditing this clinic. It was so amazing, and she's so inspirational, and watching her approach to teaching ditches and to this and that and the bidding, and she brings like this entire suitcase with her on cross country. If she wants you to wear spurs, she puts on these spurs. Oh my God, they're huge. If you need a new bit, she'll just take off your bridle and put on a new bridle. It's pretty cool. She was prepared. She's like, no, one girl had a hackamore. She's like, no, come over here. And she made the girl put on a bridle, and the girl's like crying, but I want a hackamore. She's like, absolutely not. I don't think so. No, I think she needs a bit. Like, it was great. But she was so nice about it that you're like, oh, you're changing my entire life. I love you anyway because you're so sweet and polite. It was really awesome. And I just had so much fun, and I'm super inspired. And I rode my horse for the first time in 2 weeks because of all
this. Oh, hell yeah. Well, how's the mouth? I haven't talked to you in a week now. It has been a week. So how's the mouth doing now that you've stopped feeding the nasty bad hay?
So, yeah, we had the foxtail in the hay. I was under quarantine for VS, but turns out it's not VS. It's foxtail in the hay. And you guys, I hope, I know I've been contacted by a couple people that have had the same problem, and I do appreciate you guys commiserating with me. But I've been flushing their mouths out with salt, warm salt water twice a day, which is...
I bet you that goes well.
The first day... Everybody wanted to kill me. It's to the point now, Glenn, where I hold this. You're not going to believe this, but it must feel so good. I hold the syringe, this giant, you know, like I got it from Omega Alpha, these 100 cc syringes, and full of salt water, and they put their mouths over it. And I push
Really?
It. It must feel so good to them that they actually come to it. Like, I don't even do it with a halter anymore. They love it. Yesterday, the horses started licking the salt water out of the bucket. I was like, well, that's a way to do it. That's easier.
Now, do you get on you? Are you covered in salt water by the time you're done?
Let me just tell you, my cuticles are bleeding at this point. I mean, it is, yeah, it's awful. I'm trying to wear the same clothes every time I go out there, and it's, I mean, I must look ridiculous. I've got Superman pajama pants out there and, like, a black long-sleeve shirt, and it's just salted and gross, and I'm trying not to... Yeah, it's bad. But
they're getting better.
Working,
but the mouths are,
and they're getting
good.
Better, yeah, and they're still on the watered-down hay and all the hay pellets, and it's still a ton of work. But
how about
I'm
your hay guy? Was he good about it? Was he going to make it right?
You know, he was really... defensive at first, and he came over and he looked at the hay and he looked at my horses. I mean, he wasn't like, I need to see the horses. I said, come look at these horses. And he basically said, you know, it was a good thing, Glenn, that I had about 5 days to cool off waiting for the VS test to come back, because I handled it a lot better than I would have when I was really mad. And mm-hmm. I just said to him, I'm like, dude, you know, crap happens. You didn't mean for this to be in the hay. And I probably understand that this is a lot bigger deal to you in the long run. He's like, I've got $90,000 worth of this hay already put up. So I'm like,
oh,
yeah. So he's going to have to go through all of it and see which ones came from which fields. And he's got a lot of work ahead of him. And I said, dude, all I want is... You know, I don't want to ruin our relationship. I said, I want you. I've got about $600 in vet bills and about $300 in lost wages from not teaching lessons for a week. I said, I want you to cover that in hay. So when you get some good hay, I want that. You know, but I'd have to buy more hay anyway. So you might as well give me that and I'll pay the vet bill. So he, you know, he's an old farmer. Like, they don't have tons of money to be handing me $900
right.
cash. So I
right.
just said, give it to me in hay, and he was very happy to do that.
Plus,
so
he's
got
$90,000 in hay that he's got nothing to do with it except ship it out for cows at half
pretty
the price.
Much. I don't even think cows can eat it.
I don't know that cows can eat foxtail either.
Yeah, that's
yeah.
true. Cows are tough, but
no.
maybe they're not that. I don't know what you do with it then. Along the road.
What you can do with it is you say, like, does somebody need to burn somebody's house down? Because we'll get to ship you a whole bunch of fire starter. I mean, that's pretty much what this hay can be. So we'll see. He's having it analyzed right now and blah, blah, blah. I don't know. It's going to take about a week.
He doesn't want to start sending it out to other people.
He's screwed. So I'm glad I handled it as politely as I did. And like I said, I'm glad I had about 5 days to
look at you growing and maturing.
I know. I thought as soon as I did that, I was like, I can't wait to tell Glenn how calm I was and non-emotional.
4 years ago, you'd have been over there with a fire torch.
I know where he lives. I would have been over there with I was so mad. And I'm, you know, I've started to realize, like, this is really not good for him either. And he was so sorry and defensive.
It's worse
and,
for him than you, actually.
Exactly. You know, I've got $600 in vet bills. He's got about $90,000 in lost hay, you know, so... Whatever. It sucks for me, but it also sucks for him. And I don't think that yelling at him would have helped. You know, I would have gotten nothing.
I am so proud of you. You're growing up.
I forgot I had to talk. I know. I felt so proud of myself. I was like, Glenn's going to be so proud of me for not reacting. Being calm. Chad was too, because Chad is like you. He's like, just calm down. Please keep it together. He's like, you handled that so well. I'm like, thanks. of course, you know, I feel like sometimes when you're nice like this, you get walked all over. So we'll see the end result and see if I needed to freak out. And if I don't, if I do.
Chad's shooting missiles at him. This hay deal's no big deal. I mean, you know.
My husband will drop a bomb on your house.
Oh, well, Jennifer, what is coming up on today's show?
On today's Kentucky Performance Products Tuesday after the trade show edition, once our plucky co-hosts have caught up on their respective weekend adventures, we'll get the inside scoop on what's new at Weatherbeta with Doug Walker. And rounding out our Tuesday trot through the equinosphere, the wacky world of Horse Nation stops by. And for our carb junkies everywhere, that wouldn't be you, Jamie, because you're a vegan now, happy Potato Day and happy Carrot Cake Day.
Woohoo!
Can vegans have potatoes? They're not bad, right?
Yes, vegans can have potatoes. What we don't put duct tape on our mouth, but we can't eat the icing in carrot cake or carrot cake because there's eggs in it.
Oh, so, carrot cake is so good, too. Oh, I can't have it either. It's just nothing but sugar, but boy, is it good. All right, Daily Winnie time. Well, my Daily Winnie goes out to Emily Thompson, Colleen, and Lorraine Peachy for helping out all weekend at the American Equestrian Trade Association. Emily was a big, big help. She helped book guests. She actually was the one that co-hosted yesterday. Did you see the video of her getting blown up in the vest?
First of all, the first thing that went through my mind is I'm a little jealous because I got blown up in the .2 air vest, and that's the exact same spot with you. So I was jealous. And then, second of all, I was like, oh, my gosh, that's the coolest vest I've ever seen. And then third of all, I was realized how tiny and adorable she is. She's like a little elf. Yes, oh, my gosh.
She is.
So
she's like a little elf. She actually gets a lot of rides. She helps train a lot of ponies down in Wellington for the jumpers. Because she's so tiny, she must weigh all of, 90 pounds. So she's so tiny, and she gets to ride a lot of the ponies down there, which she likes. She likes riding ponies. But she was such a big help, and she was so delightful, and she did such a good job on the show yesterday. And those vests, that Helite, those new Helite vests, are unbelievable because they just look like a vest or a jacket. They look like a soft-shell jacket. And you can zip them out of the jacket and change the outer layers so you can have a different jacket. It doesn't look like you're wearing a vest at all. They're really, really cool. I think they're going to be very, very popular coming up. And the girl who was there. Oh, sorry.
I was just saying, is that supposed to be for venting? Is that going to take the place of your crash vest and your air vest?
It won't take the place of your crash vest.
They have one that's designed for single use. It's only one piece of equipment, don't they?
Yeah, not this particular style. This would go over your crash vest. You would wear it like a fancy jacket over your crash vest. Or if you're out riding when you're training or whatever and don't have your crash, aren't wearing your crash vest, you can wear this jacket, what looks like a jacket. And especially, what they're trying to get into is like Emily wears a vest when she trains the babies down in Wellington, but the jumpers all pick on her because it's ugly and, are you expecting to die today? They all pick on her like that.
Yeah.
You could wear this and they would never know. You even have a vest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
So they're really going after that market. And then you get it if you get it a size or two bigger, you could put it over your crash vest. But it does not replace the crash vest, obviously. But I really like, too, after it's blown up, the support it had. It really is well made and well done. And the French girl, she's the daughter of the guy who owns the company, and she was so delightful. She was so cute, and we had fun with her all weekend. It was her first time over here, so that was fun. It was a good time. But thank you to also Colleen and Lorraine. They helped wrangle some guests and find some cool products for us and everything. They couldn't be there yesterday. They had horse babysitter issues and couldn't be there Monday, but it was fun. Good time. And we'll talk about really bad ads. I have some new prizes and it's going to be tomorrow. We'll talk about that after Jamie's Daily.
Well, we talked on, when was the last time we did a show? Friday or Wednesday or whenever I was the last on the show. Jennifer and I talked about on Friday, Texas Red. He is one of my picks. I'm kind of watching him right now. on the road to the Kentucky Derby, and Texas Red is owned, I really like the way they named him. He's owned by a bunch of people that don't really have a lot of horses, and they're not horse people, and they live in Texas, and they're a big group of friends. And so they bought Texas Red, and they wanted to honor Texas and then honor Kentucky and Secretariat. So that's why they named him Red. So he's honoring Texas and Secretariat, which is why he's got that surname, I guess. So anyway, he had a race this past weekend, and I just thought it was an interesting one to watch for upcoming Derby prep. So let's take a listen.
And away they go. Sir Samson breaks smoothly from the outside gate. Serbian Cyclone's out fast along the inside. Jazzy Josh goes up between those two to get second. Lord Nelson at the rail, a close-up fourth. Then we come back to Bench Warrant. Texas Red, content to lag at the back early on, gives them six-length start. They run past the 5/8, and Serbian Cyclone is the leader up alongside Jazzy Josh. On the far side is Sir Samson and Lord Nelson tucked in at the rail. Two lengths covers those four. Then it's another 2.5 back to Bench Warren. And still at the back is Texas Red. He's got six to make up. Into the turn they go, and Serbian Cyclone continues to show the way. Jazzy Josh turning the pressure on. And Sir Samson on the far side. Those three go to the quarter pole together. Lord Nelson now has four lengths to make up. And let's see, Texas Red being asked to pick it up now. Texas Red is on the move, still five off the leaders. Bench Warrant alongside of him. They're at the top of the lane. Sir Samson in the white blinkers. Jazzy Josh between them. Serbian Cyclone at the rail. Texas Red in the red cap is running on late on the outside. Lord Nelson, even a late run from Bench Warrant, is wide, wide open. Texas Red now getting into stride. Texas Red on the inside, coming like an express train. Texas Red, Lord Nelson, Lord Nelson, Lord Nelson's going to keep you at bay. Lord Nelson beat Texas Red. Sir Samson, Bench Warrant, Jazzy Josh, and Serbian Cyclone.
So he came in second place. Again, this was the $200,000 San Vicente Stakes, and Texas Red won the Breeders' Cup Juvenile back in October. So point is, he's not undefeated going into this, okay? So he just came, but won it, like lost it by just a neck. Really ran hard, picking off horse after horse after horse at the end. And I don't think it was long enough for him. So I think he wants a little bit longer race than 7 furlongs. And, of course, the Derby is considerably longer. So I think he's on the road. And Keith DeSormo is the trainer. And Kent DeSormo, his brother, is the jockey. And I think they're well on their way to getting a Derby horse ready. So I think it's exciting. My other favorite horse, Calculator, Glenn, because that name is awesome, Calculator, is out. He is out of the Derby.
Oh, really?
Because he's off Texas, the Derby trail. He hurt himself.
The Kentucky Derby point standings, they do points now, and basically you have to qualify. And in the point standing, Texas Red is sitting sixth. He's actually had earnings of $1.1 million at this point, and
the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. It's the one
Exactly. Exactly. So he's sitting in sixth place with points, and then but there's some fun names on this list that I kind of Ocho is one of them, sitting in ninth place. Daredevil, Leave the Light On. Can you see the announcers having fun with Leave the Light On? That's pretty good. Lucky Player, Conquest Typhoon. There was a couple of others on here that I thought the Truth or Else. That's kind of a Liam Neeson horse, shouldn't it be? The Truth or Else. Tell me the Truth or Else.
Or else. I like it.
Here's a good one. Hashtag Bourbon. It's spelled out. Hashtag Bourbon. I kind of like that.
Are you
that
serious?
One.
It's spelled
yes.
out. It's not the
it's
little
spelled
symbol.
Spelled out. Hashtag. Yeah, no, it's not a little symbol.
Wow.
It's spelled out. Hashtag Bourbon. Because I don't think they're allowed to use symbols in the names. Lord Nelson's only sitting in 35th place in the standings, actually. It's a Bob Baffert horse.
Well, I think he probably went up a little bit because
he probably went
won
up. Yeah.
$200,000 race this past weekend. So, yeah, he's probably gone up a little bit. But, yeah, there's some interesting. Anyone stick out to you, Glenn, ahead of right now?
You know, I got to say, if I'm just picking names, Ocho is kind of fun. I kind of like that one. And I really like Leave the Light On. I wonder if that's owned by the Motel 6 people. We'll leave the light on for you. You know?
I didn't think about that. Well, I like Carpe Diem. I picked him in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, and he was beat by Texas Red. So I like Carpe Diem, and I like Texas Red because I just I'm like I said, I read the interview with the owners, and they just seem like really cool people we'd be friends with. So those are my two so far. Jennifer, do any of them stand out for you besides the Motel 6 horse and the 888?
Oh, well, Jennifer's on mute. Let me take her off
of
mute. Go ahead.
I like American Pharoah.
That's Bob Baffert.
Yeah, see, that's the problem. But I'm going to root for the horse despite the trainer, not because of. And Upstart.
Yeah.
Yeah, Upstart's like at number three, and not too bad in the standings at this point. Yeah. Well, we'll see. It'll all shake out. We'll have injuries. We'll have all kinds of stuff. And then there's 436 horses in the running for the Kentucky Derby. And that'll have to be whittled down a bit, down to 19 or 20. So,
now, do you remember last year the horse named Bayern? They've got a horse this year named Bayard. Steve Asmussen horse, B-A-Y-E-R-D.
Okay, that's confusing.
That's confusing. That's ridiculous.
We got to get that one out because that's just too confusing. Bluegrass Singer
hashtag
is another
bourbon.
One that's in there. Yeah.
Hashtag
I don't
bourbon,
know. There's a lot of them. I like hashtag bourbon. That's got to be up on the list, too. All right, we'll see how that all plays out as we're going along here. A couple of things. Tomorrow we're going to be doing really bad ads because we kind of have a mixed up week. Obviously, we're here on a Tuesday. I got to play the Tuesday opener, which I haven't played in like 3 years. But we are going to be back, Jamie and I, tomorrow, and then Road to the Horse on Thursday. And then Emily Thompson will be back with the special jumping episode. And she has arranged that we're going to be at the WEF down in Wellington. Oh, Jennifer and I are heading down there to meet up with Reese and Phillip of the Dressage Radio Show and Emily of our jumping episode. And Emily has arranged that we're going to be sitting ringside, actually watching the show jumping on Friday when we're doing the show.
So we're
going to be live from the World Equestrian Festival on Friday in Wellington. Hopefully it's not pouring down rain. Hopefully it'll be good weather, and we'll be down there doing the show live, talking jumping, and have guests all lined up for you. And we'll be on location on Friday's show. So that means tomorrow is really bad ads. You have today to get your ads into Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com. She needs some ads, and I have a prize for you. It's something new. We have Noble Equine His and Her Boot Socks from Noble Equine. You get two pairs of socks, one ladies, one men's. And these are lightweight performance socks with heel-to-toe padded protection and an arch compression band to avoid shifting. They're tall boot socks, perfect fit top, stays in place all day, comfort mesh for added breathability. Plus, they have Opti-Dry technology that wicks away moisture. And anybody that has a Noble Equine product knows that they're quality stuff. All the Noble Equine stuff is quality. And so this is a $30 value going to go out to the winner of Really Bad Ads tomorrow. And, of course, it's EquityMFG.com, Really Bad Ads. And last week I wasn't here on Friday. Who won the Flex and Fork?
Haley from Utah won the Flex and Fork.
Who won? I didn't catch
that. Haley from Utah.
Kaylee from Utah. Well, congratulations, Kaylee. That's great. So she was our first monthly winner of the Flex and Fork. And, of course, we'll be giving away another one this month for everybody that submits ads. We'll be in the running for that. So very good. That's fun. And I hear you guys had a good show on Friday and got to talk to Elisa. I'll have to listen back to that to hear Elisa. She's always fun.
Yeah, she gave me a little bit of crap. She did.
Oh,
I got to admit.
Oh, about your Mustang thing? Yeah.
You know,
she doesn't give you any flash.
No, some of us have to wait. You know, I'm not really equipped for a Mustang at this property, or am I ready for one? So it will happen when it's supposed to happen, Elisa. Thank you very much. You know, well, this is the only way I can talk without her yelling at me is just when she's not here.
That's funny. I didn't realize she gave you that much crap. I got to tell you, too, you'll be happy. I don't know if everybody saw that on our Facebook page, and it was the hit of the show. Everybody at the show took a picture of the chicken blanket. And they were Shires, which is usually a pretty serious company, came out with a line of blankets. One has little, I forget what, it wasn't as exciting as the chicken blanket. So go on to our Facebook page, scroll down, and you'll see a picture of the chicken blanket at Horses in the Morning Facebook page. And I thought about you immediately when I saw this. So I'm happy to announce that a size 80 chicken blanket has been ordered and
Yay!
Will be shipping out to you. They aren't
That's
in yet.
Exciting.
They're going to be about 3 weeks away, but they're going to be coming out to you. I've ordered you a size 80 chicken blanket. You will be the only one in Phoenix, Arizona with a chicken blanket.
Yeah, I'm one of the only ones in Phoenix, Arizona that uses a blanket, so I'll be all by myself in many aspects. But this blanket's so cute. I love it. Edward's Clipsy wears this sheet every night, so this is perfect. And,
yeah, I want to
so
qualify for those that didn't listen yesterday. These are not blankets for chickens. This is actually a horse blanket that has chickens on it. So it's very cute.
Well, you had me there confused, Glenn, because we've had chicken diapers, and when you texted me and said, did you see the chicken blanket, I went, what?
They have chicken
blankets,
too.
Not blankets for chickens. They actually make the same thing with the dog blanket, by the way, and with the chickens on it. So that's those were kind of cute, too. So those have been ordered.
That's awesome. So, Glenn, did anything stand out as awesome? I know I'm a little behind and I didn't listen to your show, but anything else stand out at Ada that's going to be like a must-have?
Jennifer can bring them in to me. They're on the kitchen table. If she could bring them in to me, it's a pair of this company that makes these gloves. And I did an interview with them that's going to be on Stable Scoop coming up. The guy was the treasurer for Louisville Slugger. He actually worked for the Louisville Slugger Company, and of course, which is one of the top companies for providing baseball stuff. And they designed, while they were there was a doctor at Louisville Slugger that designed these bionic gloves that all the baseball players use now. And I have to tell you, he gave me a pair of these gloves, and I've never worn gloves when I drive because I don't like the bulkiness with the reins. So, but these gloves truly fit better than any glove I've ever had in my life, and they have little cutout gussets in them at all the joints and all the knuckles, so that when you flex your hand, like to hold the reins, you don't have pinching anywhere. And they just fit better than any glove I've ever seen. I haven't used it yet, but I was wearing them around yesterday, and I'll tell you what, these are the nicest gloves I've ever seen, and I'm very picky about gloves. I can't wait to try these things. I think they're going to become very, very popular. They have padding in all the right places, and they just fit better. There's no bulk. You know how between your fingers with those gloves, there's that bulky, bunchy thing that happens? Not with these. And they have leather ones, pretty leather ones. They have non-leather ones. I have the suede ones. They're a little lighter weight for weather like here, but these, and Colleen from Eventing Nation, she's the one that sent me over there, and she was in love with these things, too. She just couldn't say enough good things about them. I think those are really going to become popular. So when he left Louisville Slugger, he bought the technology from them and brought
cool.
it to the – yeah.
That's neat guy, cool. Hey, too. Did you see when I was at the clinic yesterday, it was like a fashion show of cross-country gear, the boots and the breeches and the shirts and the pants. I mean, everybody had the coolest helmets, and everything was very, very fancy. And one person had on those Ariat, you know, the Ariat Volants are the boots that I wear that are just awesome. And they're about $500. Tall boots, though, and you could literally go run a marathon in them. I mean, they're super comfortable. Well, they have the V for Volant Sport boots, and it zips up the back, and they are mesh on the sides. They're mesh boots, but they look like tall boots. I'll post a link on our Facebook page because they look absolutely breathable and comfortable, and they're $299. What tall boots that are comfortable are $299? None. So this was, curious.
Do they look funky because of the mesh?
No, I couldn't tell from a far away. And then when she dismounted and came over, I was like, what are you wearing? Those are the coolest things ever. So I'll post a link. They're so cool. And I just didn't know if you had seen those or if they were like kind of getting some buzz or anything.
I didn't stop by the Ariat booth. You know, they had a smaller booth than usual this time, and I really didn't stop by the Ariat booth at all. But, you know, one of the places I did stop, and it was the Weatherbeta booth, and I spent some time with them. Weatherbeta is a company that we were one of the first tax shops when we had our tax shop back in the 90s. We were one of the first tax shops to buy from Weatherbeta when they came over here from Australia for the first time. And we were one of the first ones to carry the Weatherbeta blankets. And when they first came, they pretty much had blankets and not much else. And now the Weatherbeta lines, they own a bunch of different lines, Dublin and WinTech and just a Roma pads, just a whole bunch of different things. And they kind of went through over the last couple of years, they kind of got a little stagnant, and they admit that. And then now they've hired all new people to run the company here in the United States, and they really have redesigned almost every line in the whole entire booth. And you know what size the Weatherbeta booth is, right? It is huge. And
huge.
Almost everything in the booth was brand new. They had redesigned everything. They're really innovating now again. And I had an opportunity to speak, and he is a cool guy. I was really glad that he was the one that wanted to do this, because his name is Doug Walker. He's the chief marketing officer, and he's out of England. He's a great accent and just a fun guy. And I had an opportunity to do an interview with him to talk about Weatherbeta's resurgence here and coming back into the market with a terrific line of new products that I really liked. So I'm going to play that for you right after the interview I did yesterday, right after we hear from Kentucky Performance Products, who's now sponsoring this week, the Tuesday edition. So we'll be back with that interview I did with Doug Walker.
He was her first love, the one that started it all. He taught her how to master the posting trot and navigate her first hunter course. They spent hours together exploring the trails and hanging out in the barn. His name was doodled on every page in her school notebook. His coat gleamed in the sun as he met her at the gate each day, snuffling for a treat. From the first time she saw him poking his head out of the stall to the last time she patted him goodbye, he was, and always will be, her everything. This love story is brought to you by Nalox Advanced, providing complete support for a healthy digestive tract, which reduces the risk of colic and digestive upset. The horse that matters to you matters to Kentucky Performance Products. Call 859-873-2974 or visit kppusa.com to order today.
Glenn here, and I am at the American Equestrian Trade Association and chatting with Doug Walker, who's the Chief Marketing Officer of Weatherbeta.
Hello.
Hey, Doug.
Hello. Good. Nice to meet you.
And everybody's going to love your accent. Where are you from?
I'm from England. Over here. It's my first time over on Super Bowl weekend. So excited.
Well, yeah. You're going to a party tonight?
I am. Oh. I am. Weatherbeta got a party. I don't think they put it on for me, though. I think they put it on for our customers, but... Never mind, I'll be there. I'll be there. I'm pretty excited.
It should be a lot of fun. So now you are, you're the chief marketing officer. Is this a Weatherbeta USA or the whole thing or what?
I'm very lucky. I'm actually marketing officer for the whole company. So the team that we have here in the United States and the team we've got in the United Kingdom and New Zealand and Australia. And in Australia, we've got some people working on our brands and also some people working on some stores. We've got a group of stores down there called Horseland. But up here in the United States and in the UK, we wholesale our brands to lots of independent retailers, many of whom are here.
I think a lot of people don't realize how big Weatherbeta is, that it really is a global company. And the Horseland connection, I think Horseland was or is the largest chain of retail in the tech world.
Well, it's certainly the largest in Australia, that's for sure. We're market leader over there. We've no ambitions to make it any bigger outside of Australia. You know, Australia is very much our home market for those stores.
New Zealand too?
No, we don't.
Oh, really?
We sell to independents and multiple operators in New Zealand and the UK and USA. And we had a go at retail, but we've firmly now out of that. And we're very focused on building our brands and making them as best we can for our retailers and of course, for our consumers and our users.
Of course, I think everybody that's probably listening to the show is familiar with some of the Weatherbeta brands, Weatherbeta blankets, number
that's
one,
right.
Which is what you really started with here in the United States many years ago when
that's
we had
right.
our tack business.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Weatherbeta is a wonderful brand. I mean, it's not quite 40 years old. We'll be celebrating our anniversary in a couple of years' time, 40 years. Dublin's a little bit older, actually. That's another one of our brands.
Oh, really?
And
yeah.
Dublin's like a year older, so we'll be getting to 40 a little bit sooner than Weatherbeta. And there are two main global brands, but we've also got Collegiate.
Oh, Wintec.
Steel,
yeah.
Wintec, Bates.
Yeah. My wife has several Wintec saddles.
Fantastic. Yeah, yeah. And we distribute Wintec and Bates. They're brands that we distribute. We've just taken on Anki. We've just taken on Champion Helmets. We own Roma. So we,
yeah, I mean, everybody has a Roma saddle pad in their tack
so
room.
So popular here in the United States. It's probably the largest market, actually, for Roma saddle pads anywhere in the world. You know, it's probably the strongest market for us. So,
well, we in the United States like to collect saddle pads. We all have about 1 million of them.
Do you really?
So, yeah, it's a thing.
I guess, judging by sales, I could probably guess that was true. For sure. We sell a lot.
Nobody can have enough saddle pads. Well, first of all, most of us are lazy. We don't want to wash them, so we just keep buying new ones.
I can understand that. I can understand that.
Now, one of the things, I was over this morning, and we did a walkthrough of all the new products, and pretty much the whole booth is new products.
It is.
You guys really are revamping a lot of the lines, and I mean, really starting over with a whole new line.
I'm sure many of your listeners will have their own businesses or be involved in the horse industry. And I think all of us know who are involved in business that you have to keep innovating. But that was a lesson we forgot a few years ago when we stopped innovating. And businesses that stop innovating decline. And over the last 2 years, we've really accelerated the pace of new product development. And we've done that through, first and foremost, listening to our consumers. So wherever we've been in the world, we've been listening, and listening really hard. And we've done some very detailed research. We got a lot of great ideas. We found some products we can bring to market and ranges we can bring to market right now. And we've got a couple that we're showing, as you say, a whole booth full, actually.
Yeah.
It's so exciting. It's so much more fun to be involved, of course, when you're growing, and it's so much more fun to be involved when you've got lots of new things to talk about. And the smiles on people's faces over the last weekend suggest that, yeah, we're on the right track. It's a great team.
Well, and one of those is Dublin, and of course, Dublin is known for two things. People think of it with two things. You know, that's what people think of when they think of Dublin. And the boots, a whole new paddock line.
That's right.
All new features.
That's right. Completely. Now, that's a project I've been personally working on for about 18 months, but a company we've been working on for 3 years. And you think the humble old paddock boots, you think, oh, how on earth can you be spending 3 years
on it? Yeah, who's reinventing that wheel?
But
yeah.
We have literally changed every single thing we could possibly change on that line. So we started with new suppliers. We've got new technical resource working on it. We've got new marketing people working on it. We've just done everything different. We started with some really fundamental research. We went right down, okay, how do people shop for these boots? How do they use them? What's really important to them? What's not important to them? So things like comfort, as an example, you know, comfort was absolutely, of course, fundamental. But it's something we've neglected when we've been doing product development before. So we really focused on comfort in this range. We've taken what we call RCS, Rider Comfort System, which is a really very comfortable footbed, we call it technically, but it's basically the bit that your heel and foot rests on. And that's the heart of why a boot's comfortable or not comfortable. Taken that from the river boot, it works in the river boot. We put it into this range, but then made it better. We've got an Ultra and we've got a Platinum. We really turned our RCS system into something that we think will deliver all-day comfort, something that will be, I think, a really successful part of, and I'm sure our shoppers and consumers will love it.
I think the look is a little bit, I talk about the look of the boots. Comfort's important, but, you know, we in America worry about looks, too.
Absolutely.
I think the look of the boot is a little more refined. It's a little, I don't know, what am I looking for here? It's just...
Refined's a good word.
Yeah,
I think refined's a good word. This was a real mistake we made a couple of years ago when we tried to innovate in this category. We produced unrefined or perhaps more
flashy
styling.
They were just a little clunkier or something. Yeah. I don't know what the word is.
And, you know, for the best of intentions, you know, we tried to...
They were functional.
We tried to do a few different things, and... but we learned a lesson from that, and actually that was the second key message that came out of the research. We need to get appropriate styling in our boots. We have worked so hard on that.
Well, they do. They look good now.
That's brilliant. Yeah. I'm so delighted. I hope everybody else thinks that too. You're great. You must come around with us and help us sell them to people. Look, we have worked hard on that, and we've researched it really hard as well, so we've asked a lot of people.
I think people are going to be surprised when they go into tech shops and they see them on the shelf. They're going to go, oh, that's a Dublin? You know, and I think they're going to be surprised.
Well, certainly hope.
Have you changed the look, too, the little logo and all that?
Yes, yeah. Now the logos.
I like it.
So the logos, obviously.
It's classier, too. It's more refined.
It's more refined. It's more refined. You know, logos obviously matter a lot to us. There are trademarks, but they also say something to consumers as well. And if you get it wrong, nobody wants to be associated with something where somebody's made a real mistake on a logo, because it says a lot about what you're trying to say as a brand. So that's a great piece of work we've done. It does definitely look more refined. We'll also actually introduce more high-end products as well on that Padded Boot range. So we've got two families called Summit and Apex. We've got some fantastic technology for the money. I mean, it really is amazing. They're hard to make. I know that. I certainly know enough about that to know that. But for the money, they really do deliver a fantastic range. We've always been known for, you know, great value at lower price points, and now we've got great value at higher price points too.
And the blanket line looks, I mean, you got some new fun colors and stripes, and I just new technical. I love the one that really jumped out at me, being the blanket. I was the blanket buyer and the blanket seller when we had our tack business.
Yeah.
So the one that really jumped out at me is the anti-static sheet. Does that really work?
Of course.
Because that is a problem. I mean, a lot of horses just freak out. I mean,
you know, I obviously made a point of saying on Dublin we'd really research the brand very heavily. And research is just, you know, fundamentally it's about listening. And on WeatherBeater over the last 2 years, we've been doing a lot of listening. And I think these are brands that are made by horse people for horse people. And they obviously always have a good understanding of problems, like static as an example. But to really understand it, and then also to do the work with equestrian universities, for instance, or colleges, to understand the biomechanics and the heating difficulties and some of the other issues like static, and then produce products, you know, that takes a special skill. And I'm so proud of the teams who have been developing this. They've worked so hard, and we've got many new ideas coming up, actually. I'm very excited over the next 2 years. We've got some great innovation. We haven't quite commercialized yet, but I'm pretty confident we'll have some very clever stuff coming through over the next 2 years as well. Not the end of it.
And you know that, you know, WeatherBeater blankets have been known by in this country now for almost 20 years. I think it's been about 20 years that you guys came over. We were one of the first ones to buy WeatherBeater products back in the old days. And they're just known. We use WeatherBeater blankets. We use them on our ponies and, you know, on our horses, and it's just they just always worked. But it's really cool to see some of the new styles and the new neck designs. That's one of the big things now, is the different types of necks. So the blankets, I was impressed with the look of them.
I can honestly say it's the name above the door. We're called WeatherBeater.
Right.
It's the brand WeatherBeater. But the one question that everybody always asks, and I swear this is true, is that WeatherBeater quality? They're always asking. You know, quality is such an important part of our brands. And, you know, we reject more stuff than we develop.
Well, and
we
especially
just can't make
in blankets, because they tear, and people are always frustrated with blankets because, well, first of all, they're on in the worst weather, so you're in a bad mood anyway, you know.
Yeah, exactly, of course.
Yeah, so you're starting with that, and then if your horse tears his blanket, it's just something that just pisses you off.
Absolutely. So, and some horses do it more than others.
Right,
don't they? You know,
right.
One of the pieces of work.
I have one of those.
I mean, we discovered that the horses typically, horse owners would talk about them either being a wrecker or a Houdini. They're able to somehow magically
take them off.
Or actually, you know, many horses are friendly. You know, they're quite happy in their blankets. But the wreckers and the Houdinis are particularly problematic. You know, coming back to the field in the morning and finding the blanket on the floor, how on earth did they people get it off? So many of our feature developments over the last 2 years has been around trying to make sure we can deliver blankets for wreckers, you know, that they're more robust. We've got some Kevlar stitching and the like, you know, that kind of really high duty, high impact kind of material that will stop that damage. We got extra fastening on our freestyle rugs, for instance, that makes it harder for the Houdinis to get the blankets off. So we've definitely been taking that kind of fundamental thinking about, okay, this is what a horse owner needs, a happy horse as a happy owner, and then trying to turn that into features on our rugs that will really make a difference.
Well, I think that you did a good job. I really like the look of the new line.
Thank
there.
Thank you. That's very kind.
Now, the thing that people are going to be, our listeners are 95% women. And the thing that they're going to be most excited about is the new Dublin breeches.
Yes.
And one of the biggest complaints that women have always had with breeches is they're made for models who have no figure.
Yes.
And, you know, but most women riders have a figure. They actually have hips.
Yep.
I have a butt, and the breeches just don't fit right. And now you really have. I was very impressed with that. That's one of the most exciting things I saw over there this morning, because I know my wife's going to be very excited about it. So it's the three different lines and three different cuts of breeches that are coming out in the Dublin line.
I certainly think you need to be in one of our research groups.
Well, it's true. I mean, we just know that because I talk to horse women all day.
You've just done an amazing job, actually, of summarizing what women all around the world told us. Fit is such a difficult issue in breeches, and trying to deliver a fit that flatters is not easy. You saw, and it's obviously not great on radio to try and explain different fits, but we had three models there today with us, working with us, all of which were size 28 waist, but all had very different shapes.
Were they all 28?
They're all 28, and you would never guess.
No, I would have never guessed
that. And that's true, though. You see, you know,
I would look at the little skinny one, and then you look at the other one that actually had hips, and I thought it was a much larger waist, but it wasn't.
So that's the key.
Well, that says a lot about the breeches, then.
Well, that's
to think
what we
about
really
it.
Tried to do. Absolutely, not every woman's different. Not every fit works on every woman. So we tried to deliver a wide range of options in materials and in fit that hopefully will just make it possible for women to actually enjoy wearing these. They're also incredibly comfortable. The technology that's in those is actually really clever. It's way beyond my pay grade, I can tell you. I don't understand most of the technology behind it, but it really works. You know, consumers tell us they're so comfortable to wear, and for once they do have a flattering fit, and so we're very proud of it. And it's also part of a wider range as well, so we've got some great show shirts as well, some lovely technology in those, and we've got some lovely show jackets. We've always been known for a certain type of jacket, but we've delivered a soft shell this time that we've never had.
I like
before.
The jacket. They actually came out with a show jacket that has a zipper underneath the buttons, which is a great idea.
Another insight.
Because the jackets, especially on women with larger chests, they tend to gap, and it looks terrible.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So I'm remarkably well positioned as somebody who doesn't have these problems to listen very carefully, and then help.
No, that always has been a problem. So I thought that was a clever design. Yeah. But I think the breeches, you've got three different types of fabric, and in the three different cuts. So you've got a slim cut for the little skinny teenage girls, and then you've got that sort of medium, and then you have the girls that actually have hips and a butt, and it really did. They looked great. They have gussets in all the right places.
Absolutely, and
I did that. By the way, I think that's going to be the thing that really takes off. Out of everything you have in your new line, it's those cuts of breeches because nobody's doing it that way.
I think that's right. The key for us actually is to get that whole range in front of people. So we're very hopeful being here today at Ada that a lot of our retailers will be able to tell that story because it does need a little bit of explanation to really get it right, because it's so unusual, as you say. You know, most breeches don't, you know, they're one size fits all almost. And you know, we're definitely going down that fit that flatters route.
Well, good job.
Thank you.
Good job. Now you actually were in different market before. You worked for a beer company for a while.
I was actually. I've worked in a lot of.
By the way,
places.
That's perfect for Super Bowl day. We have to discuss this.
Absolutely. Yes, I worked on Heineken actually.
Oh really?
In fact, I worked on most things that are probably part of your indulgent lifestyle. So beer, candy.
Oh really?
Yes.
What
candy? I worked
candy?
On those cakes. I worked for Nestle, so I worked
oh,
on
really?
Kit Kat. Actually, I was the.
Oh really?
Yeah, the global brand director for Kit Kat. So that was a great job, of course.
Do you get to eat all you want?
You do for about 6 months, and then
you're sick.
Once you put on so much weight.
How about Heineken? Do you get to drink all you want?
you get to for about 6 months, and then. Then you discover that Friday evenings are no longer so special.
That's funny.
But no, it teaches you self-control. That's for sure.
Kit Kat, my wife's favorite candy bar.
It's a great candy bar. But I also actually worked on an American icon in Sharpie as well, actually. I brought Sharpie.
Oh, the marker people?
Yeah, I brought Sharpie to Europe, actually. I launched it in
Oh, really?
Europe. And
they didn't have Sharpies before?
No. Isn't that interesting, isn't it?
Because for us, Sharpie is a name brand, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Household brand.
It is. And
it's a generic name, actually, like Kleenex. Yeah.
Exactly. And it's completely unknown in Europe. So that was one of the most interesting things I ever did, you know, taking...
Well, they must have had a version of it, right? They must have had their own kind of version of it.
We did. There were some... But not, actually. And there were marker pens, but nothing like Sharpie. Sharpie, to Europeans, is just a completely alien concept. It's not anymore, thankfully, but everybody needs a Sharpie. So I'm still... Yeah, 10 years since I worked on that.
You're still promoting.
But no, that was a great brand. And it's so a lot of those skills that you pick up when you work on brands like that, I'm just so thankful I come from a very humble background. I've been able to bring it to this industry and to this company. I've really enjoyed my time.
No, and now you're dealing with horse women, a whole different breed. So there you go.
Well, I also worked on Goody hairbrushes and hair accessories. So I kind of worked on all female markets. And again, probably not a good look for radio, but actually I don't use hairbrushes and hair accessories very frequently. You won't see slides and grips in my hair. And so again, it's quite useful actually to really look at a consumer market as a marketing person and not have your own prejudices or you know, kind of preconceived ideas. You know, it's what people tell you. You listen very carefully. You take the data, and you make decisions based on that. And thankfully, it seems to be working pretty well so far. It helps. I have a great team. I mean, all my team to a greater.
You really do have a good group
great
right now.
Riders.
You have
as
a
well.
New president too. I met her today.
I do. Yes, yeah. Michelle is my colleague, and Michelle Schnitzel is my colleague in the United States, and she's done an amazing job.
And she came from what world?
Footwear.
Footwear. Okay.
So a lot of the work we've done on footwear is inspired by her market knowledge. She works at Wolverine.
Did she?
And she worked in retail as well. So
she was in the boot hiker sort of market.
Absolutely.
Over there. Yeah.
Absolutely. So definitely some similarities. And yeah. She's got tremendous knowledge, and it's been a pleasure to work with her. And
super nice. I met her this morning.
She's lovely. Yeah. She's absolutely lovely. We've got a great new. I mean, I think I would say probably about half our team are new over the last 2 years. As a growing company, it's been an absolute pleasure to see them grow too. You know, we've been able to recruit, build, and grow, and it's a pleasure.
Well, the listeners know that I don't give out compliments on certain products and things too
lightly. You've been
lightly.
Very kind to me today.
Well, no, too lightly, but no, I am very impressed with all the changes that are being made over there and the new rebranding of Dublin and the new lines with really taking women into mind. So good job with that.
Thank you. That's all so right. Kind of you. It's been an absolute pleasure.
And, of course, it's weathervitausa.com. It's the website.
It's weathervitausa.com. DublinClothing.com.
Thank you very much, Doug.
Thank you.
Glenn back with you, and I am with Debbie from Equestrian Collections with the Equestrian Collections Product of the Week. What do we have this week, Debbie?
Well, this week I'm featuring the Noble Outfitters Running Strong Belt in lady sizes. Now, every one of us out there has a million belts in our closet, but I'll bet you very few of us have this kind of belt in your closet. It is so unique and so cute. They have taken the design of a running martingale and made it into a belt, and it's not just a belt. It's a really quality leather. This is the belt is only 1.25 inches wide at the widest point, which is just wide enough, but not too wide, and it's like a running martingale that goes around your waist and has buckles on it. It's just really unique, and I promise you, when you wear this belt out, your horse friends are going to say, "Oh my God, where did you get that belt? That is so cool." I trust you because I'll tell you that's the truth, because one of our employees came in with that belt, and that's pretty much what everybody said to her. So now we're selling them. So we've got that one and a couple of other Noble Outfitters belts that are just super unique and super cute. But this Running Strong belt is really something that you need to see. And it's only it's less than $50 for a really, really quality item. Noble Outfitters, one of our favorite vendors. They have great, great stuff. And kind of unique and really pretty. And this one fits the bill. Comes in brown and black as well. And there's a size chart on the site right there. So if you have any questions about large, medium, smaller, extra small, or whatever, the size chart is right there beside the choose size and color drop down.
And, of course, you can find all the Noble Outfitters stuff there at Equestrian Collections. But if you're looking for this particular belt, which really does look like a running martingale, go to Noble Outfitters Running Strong Belt, and you'll find it there for $44.99, which is a really good price for a quality leather belt.
Around going nowhere. Buildings grew all around me, but I still got a painted pony. Gonna give her a job, 'cause she's fat and bored. And I'm gonna ride my horse more. Well, I love to drive my truck. The open road feels pretty good. But just because you can doesn't mean that you always should. And I can hardly breathe. Man, this is killing me. I'm gonna ride my horse more. Mother Nature, she's been beat up. I'd say she's been abused. Now even the ocean's black and blue. Gasoline just turns to haze. And my wallet's on empty anyway. Holding the reins is something I can afford. So I'm gonna ride my horse more. Well, I love to drive my truck. The open road feels pretty good. But just because you can doesn't mean that you always should. And I can hardly breathe. Man, this is killing me. I'm gonna ride my horse more.
In love with his horse. Oh my gosh, I just absolutely love him. I don't know what it is. I just love his music. I can't stand it. That's Ride My Horse More, Jared Rogerson. And I'm like, dude, it's a hot cowboy singing about riding his horse and loving his horse. How better does it get than that?
And that's off of the Peace, Love, and Horses album, right?
Yes, and I was I'm on iTunes right now because I realized I don't have this in my new phone, and I need to get all these songs again because I just love them. You riding your horse, listening to songs like that. Come on, it doesn't get any better.
You're right; it doesn't get any better than that.
Listen, Leslie Wiley is on the phone, and we'll have to get her perspective on Jared Rogerson. She needs to do a story about him on Horse Nation because he's a hot cowboy that sings about horses. But you're listening to Horses in the Morning, brought to you today by Kentucky Performance Products. That's kppusa.com. And thank you very much to them for being a sponsor of today's show. But let's say hello to Leslie Wiley. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm great. The sun came out today here in Tennessee, and it's still freezing cold out, but at least it looks warm.
It looks warm from the inside of my home.
The house, mm-hmm. Yeah.
I have a big imagination, so yeah.
Good deal. Well, hey, from what I understand, you sent a couple girls to the trade show, Ada, which is where Glenn was all weekend. Glenn, did you get to meet the girls from Horse Nation?
Yes, they came over and said hello. That was very nice. I got to see them, and they all had nice things to say about Leslie.
Really?
Really? Yeah.
There was no negatives. I would have told you. I would have let you know. But that was
on
good.
The air, you would have told me, I'm sure.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, yeah. For sure. So so everything, did they bring back any cool products? Did they have a good time?
I don't know. We have not debriefed on it yet. I hope they do you guys get some free swag while you're there?
I didn't go, but I didn't get any free stuff. I bought stuff. Oh, my gosh. I'm like, oh, wait, carrots is here? I need, like, six different pairs of carrots britches, and then I need this, and I need that. I mean, I went crazy.
Wait a minute here. You are getting something free from this Ada, even though you aren't there. You're getting the chicken blanket.
That's true. Glenn found a sheet with chickens printed on it, and I'm getting that. So that's
wow.
Awesome.
Priority.
That's exciting.
Chicken blankets are important.
Well, tell us what's going on Horse Nation. I did see a fantastic, hard-hitting piece on how to make, I mean, this is like digging deep, how to make your donuts into horses in 10 easy steps.
yeah, we've got to talk about that on the show since it's Horses in the Morning. Just one of those little things that, like, I'm always running across these sort of random horsey tidbits on the internet, and I saw this excerpt from a 1946 cookbook, and it was about how to, like, have a Halloween party, and so some recipes about, like, how to, you know, turn food into various things.
Is
and
this,
so they
like,
this
Pinterest
little...
before Pinterest was Pinterest?
Apparently.
Yeah, before Pinterest was Pinterest. Exactly. And so I run across this thing. It's basically says a recipe for a donut horse. This clever little bronco is easily made of two donuts held together with toothpicks. Use two quarters of the donut for neck and head. Use toothpicks for legs, tail, ears, and eyes. I love donuts, and I love horses, so... I'm like, okay, let's turn this dream into a reality. So I sort of floated it out there to my writing team, and see who might want to do a little investigative journalism on this. And Morgan Schmidt stepped up to the plate and got her and did a sort of a step-by-step post on how to turn a donut into a horse, and the result was kind of amazing. and she added a few of her own little touches to it, like a little pile of raisins under the pony's tail. but yeah, and I think it was also just a good excuse for it. It's like, what are you going to do with all those little bits of donut that you carved off to sculpt this thing into a horse? And I think she figured out something to do with them.
It actually
did look
like a horse when she was done.
Yeah.
I was impressed.
How amazing.
And
yeah.
That, my friend, is the kind of hard-hitting journalism that you will find over on horsenation.com. You're bringing us the stuff we wouldn't see otherwise. And I'm serious, though. That's why I love Horse Nation, because you guys do stuff like how to make a donut into a pony. I did notice that you need a little help promoting this. You've got a survey going on who reads your page.
Yeah. We actually did. We try and do this a Gallup poll, as we call it.
I love it.
Once a year, just to sort of figure out a little bit about our readership, what kind of riding they do, and how many horses they own, and it just helps us sort of, you know, we want Horse Nation to be what the what the citizens of Horse Nation want it to be. So that just kind of gives us a good idea of like what sort of content we should be putting out there. But yeah, it was neat. We've got a pretty varied readership as it turns out. All across the board, and I think that's one of the cool things about the site is that we don't cater to any one particular discipline. We're all horse lovers, and so we try and spread the love around.
What did you find out? What stood out to you?
Well, we've got a growing Western readership. That was to know. It seemed like it was somewhere between 20% and 30%. So we love those guys. So that's something definitely we want to continue growing.
I think I was surprised at how much variety there was on readers. You know, you can pick your own discipline, Glenn, and you know, eventing was number one, but not by much over the 100 jumpers. Mm-hmm. Dressage came in at number three. This is so far. I just shared it on our Horses in the Morning Facebook page, so people can go click there. There's fox hunters, there's barrel racers, there's reiners, there's Western pleasure riders, there's steeplechase and racing fanatics that read Horse Nation, mm-hmm. saddle seat ropers. I mean, you guys really do branch out. This had to be a little bit eye opening for you, right?
Oh yeah, absolutely. And you know what did not have where we do not have any diversity at all. Sorry, Glenn. Our question: are you a male or a female? Our readership is 97.6% lady.
Oh wow. You know, we've always estimated our audience to be about 99% ladies. So, and we know we have a few guys out there. We actually have more guys. We're always surprised when we have guys that write to us and say they listen every day. And by the way, hello to all the guys out there. Mm-hmm. Because we just, you don't hear from them as much as you, they don't bitch as much as the women. So you don't hear from them very often.
Yeah. Well, if there's guys out there and you want to bitch, just send me an email so I'll read it on the air and make sure Glenn gets it. But the interesting part is how old are you? And there's most of your readers are between 18 and 29, but my mm-hmm. age group coming in strong second. Glenn, your age mm-hmm. group of 65 and over was only 1.79%. So
I'm not quite there yet. Not quite there yet.
Yeah.
Oh, it was great. A lot of people.
How about did you ask about numbers of horses? Did you ask that question?
Yeah, we did.
And what was that?
Asked,
what was that? I'd be interested to know that.
So I think I can't remember exactly, but it was something like over 75% of our readers are horse owners, which is really cool, or lease horses, and most I think the top was people have their one horse owners. And then some people have a lot of horses. We actually put in a category of I lost track. I've actually had horse owners before who have to, you know, you ask them how many horses they have, and they really have to stop and think about it. And you're counting on your fingers, and then you're counting on your toes, and you're like, oh. But we had some votes for that too, so so that was pretty funny.
Yeah, that was really cool. It's just interesting to see people's results. But it seems like most of your readers have one horse. They're probably mm-hmm. boarded. Mm-hmm. you hit stuff like that pretty good. How much money do you spend on your horse every month? How often do you visit horse? It's just interesting to see kind of where I fit in the category where everybody else is. Mm-hmm. It's nice to know you're normal. When I click on the 3 to 5 horse range, I was not alone in people that own that many horses.
Right.
So I was happy to have, misery loves company. It's commiserating, you know. So it was cool. It was really fun to read that. And then also, tell us about this, why we all need to join the AQHA.
Yeah, this is something really cool that one of our writers let me see if I can find this. A really cool program that the American Quarter Horse Association does that rewards people for, you know, putting in the hours on their horses. Which, so basically, you sort of it's open to anyone who's a AQHA member, but you don't have to be riding a quarter horse. And you sort of log in your riding hours. And the more hours you get, you get free stuff. Like I think if you ride, the reward for riding 50 hours is a $25 Smart Pack gift card. And it's like, you know, you're riding anyway. You might as well log it and, you know, get some rewards
now,
for it.
Absolutely. And there are a bunch of our listeners who are the kind of people that if there's a contest and they need to share and like something, they will share it 100 times. So
mm-hmm.
I know that our listeners love free stuff. So come on, you
yeah.
guys, let's earn it. Let's work. I'm kept trying to find the link and I just don't think it's working for me. Yeah. So I keep pulling up the donut.
Which is not a bad thing.
I'm getting hungry just
Leslie.
Thinking about it.
I get it. I'm starving to death. I'm vegan. I can't eat a donut. I understand. Thank you very much. But it's interesting to see that, you know, you can log your hours and get free stuff. And you don't even – so I wonder, what does it cost to be a member of the AQHA?
I'm not sure. Let's see. It looks like –
Yeah, I don't remember either. I used to know that, but I don't. I don't remember.
Talk amongst yourselves, people listening. Don't worry about
well,
us.
You know, okay. While she's looking that up, I got to ask you because you did it. You did a little article about it too, and I have not talked to Jamie about this yet because it's our first time back. But so Super Bowl commercials. Let's talk a little bit. I have to talk to Jamie and find out how she felt about some of these too. But Leslie, let's take out the Budweiser puppy, okay? Because you know we're all going to pick that, right? Okay.
Yeah.
So we have to take. By the way, is Don Jeans coming on? Did you ever hear back, Jamie, from his people?
I continue to stalk him, and I can.
Okay.
No, I'm sorry, not stalk. I continue to share text messages. And he answers about one out of every 15. So I'm getting responses now. They're just not the right responses. I'll keep working. I embarrass myself for the general public. That's what I do. Leslie, if you want his number, I'll give it to you.
Get some farmer in the Budweiser commercial, who was on our show last year after the commercial ran. So
oh, my goodness.
We're trying to get him back. We're trying to get him back this year.
Love that
Jamie
guy.
Stalked him. Yes, last year, so he finally came on, and he is a super nice guy. We're hoping to get him back. So, but now, okay, let's throw out the Budweiser commercial, except for I want to mention the new Budweiser commercial that I posted on our Facebook page this morning of the Budweiser in the store where the guy's picking out the beer. I got to say, that one's really good, too. I really like that. Did you see that one
yet?
Yeah,
I just saw that on your Facebook page. I'll have to check it out.
You're going to have to check
yeah.
it out. It's pretty good. It's much different. It's completely different than the doggy one, but it gets the point across in a very subtle way. It's very good. my next favorite commercial had to be the Viagra Fiat commercial. Because you didn't know where that one was going, you know? I was rooting for the old guy to get his pill back, and then... you know, then when it went down the gas tank, I was like, "What the hell is going to happen now?" I thought it was a clever commercial.
Yeah,
I really
was. Like you literally didn't know where it was going, where the little blue pill was going. Where's it going?
There wasn't any words. There wasn't any talking. Apparently, that was a European, a foreign commercial. I don't know, Europe over there somewhere. That's been out for quite a while, and it's been running over there. And they brought it here to the Super Bowl because it really didn't have any talking in it. So that was a good commercial. What did you think, Leslie? Did you have a favorite?
Well, I think besides the Budweiser commercial, I liked that. Okay, so. I think there's like I think it was a Bud Light commercial. It was, I guess, kind of also Budweiser. Good job, Budweiser. And it was kind of one of those like they had a guy running. They had a life size sort of Pac-Man maze, and like they had this guy sort of like running around it. I think it was one of those commercials. That's like, we're going to give you this beer, but are you up for anything? And then they take the guy on some big adventure. So they had like a giant Pac-Man maze with like real, you know, life. And I was like, oh man, how much fun would that be?
Now, I saw how that actually came to place, and I don't think they had enough time. It was a couple minutes long. That guy walked into a bar, and they had hidden cameras, and they were waiting for him, for somebody to order a Budweiser. So he walks in, he orders the beer, and they pull out, they're like, are you ready for anything? Will you do anything for this beer? And he's like, sure. And so it's like, hashtag, are you up for anything? And they basically walked him out there and made him play life-size Pac-Man. So if you are ever in a bar and you order a Budweiser, which I don't really know anybody that does order Budweisers anymore, but if you order a Budweiser and they say, are you up for anything? Say yes, because it's going to be awesome.
Yes. I wonder how many times they've done that and it's like, people say no. They're like, no. Nope,
yeah, the guy's
I'm
like,
not,
no
really.
Way.
I'm
like, I just give me my
I'm
beer.
I'm here at the bar.
Just want a beer. Leave me alone. So the commercial with the kid with no legs. Oh my god, I cried like crazy. I really loved the commercial Like a Girl. And I hate Procter and Gamble, and I hate that whole place. But the fact that they were kind of. Like, what's it like to throw like a girl? What's it like to run like a girl? And they had the little boys do it, and then they had the girls do it. And the girls were, like, kicking butt. It was awesome.
Yeah.
Gosh,
yeah,
I'm glad I
like
don't have
one.
A girl. Holy crap. Anyway.
Yeah, I thought you guys would mention the Liam Neeson one, which I thought was pretty good, too. I thought that it was so Liam. I mean, that was pretty good, too.
I didn't get to see a bunch of them. I was at a party, but I did. I do want to let you guys know that to be a one-year member of the AQHA as just a side member, you're not like showing or anything, it is $40 a year. So there's got to be a lot of free swag to get me to pay $40 and then win a $25 gift card. So save your money.
Well, but how many hours do you think you're going to log this year? That's
honestly,
it's gonna
or
add
lie.
Up.
You get to lie? Yeah, I ride all for today. 12 hours a day. Nonstop. I love it.
Well,
I was gonna say,
Leslie, thank you so much for joining us again, and it was good to meet your compatriots at the show. It was fun to meet them.
Yeah, I'm glad you guys hooked up.
Cool. Well, thank you very much for joining us. We'll talk to you again Monday morning, and hopefully it'll thaw out a little bit so you can at least go ride your horse.
Yes. Okay, you guys have a great week.
Thanks, Leslie.
You too. Talk to you later. Bye.
Well, I got to give a shout-out to the people at Cowgirls Kitchen, who we had on the show yesterday. They make some horse cookies, and they sent a batch home for Scooter and Beaker to try. And I walked out there this morning, and I just about got mugged. Cowgirls Kitchen cookies definitely were a hit. And they're so molassesy, they would not pass your vegan test. They're so molasses. Well, yeah, they probably would. They're so molassesy that they had a fresh-smelling breath when they were done because they have little mints in them, too. So
Cowgirl Cookie Company.
Cowgirl's Kitchen. Cowgirls Kitchen, and it's cowgirlskitchen.com. And she was so much fun, and she's a cowgirl. And these are made in Long Island. So not a place you would picture Cowgirls Kitchen cookies to be made, but they were a big hit with the ponies.
I went to cowgirlkitchen.com, and if it's cowgirlkitchen.com, they have a large, no, this is not the same one, because this is beer and wine, and it looks delicious.
Oh, no, wrong one.
Cowgirls Kitchen,
yes. Oh, I do see Cowgirl Kitchen. And that's got to be in Texas. Wouldn't you say Cowgirl Kitchen? Let's look and see where Cowgirl Kitchen is. We'll give them a free plug this morning.
Awesome.
They are in Rosemary Beach. I don't know where Rosemary Beach is. Isn't it funny how these companies tell you part of the address and assume you just know where they're at?
Yes. And then they're like, hey, we're in Seagrove. Where the hell is Seagrove?
I don't know where Rosemary Beach is. It doesn't give the state. It just says 31 Main Street, Rosemary Beach. So you think that they would want to tell you what state they're in, but I guess you're just supposed to know.
Yep,
you're supposed to
Rosemary
know where
Beach.
They're at.
Where the hell is Rosemary Beach? Now I've got to make this part of my daily mission of Googling to find out where this exactly is, because now I'm irritated and it's probably too far away. It's in Florida, of course.
It's
near
Panama
City, baby. PCB,
there
baby.
There you go. Rosemary
so if you want
Beach.
Some beer and wine and not cookies, you should go there.
Well, we are, as I said, just a review here real quick. Jamie and I will be back tomorrow. You need to get your ads in for the equitymfg.com, really bad ads. We're going to be doing that tomorrow, the end of tomorrow's show. And then Thursday's Road to the Horse. And Friday, we're going to be, Emily and I will be coming to you live from the ringside at the World Equestrian, or is it World? World Equestrian Festival? Yeah, WEF. World Equestrian Festival in Wellington. I'll think about that for a minute. In Wellington, we're also going to be hanging out with the recent Philip from the Dressage Radio Show. That's going to be fun. I'll get to meet Philip for the first time. We have never met him in person, so that's going to be fun seeing those guys down there too, and going out and seeing all of Reese's horses and what's going on with her over at the dressage side of things. So she's at the there's one side that's jumpers and one side that's dressage, and we'll be visiting her over at the dressage side.
On a side note, before we end this show, I've got to vent for a second. So we have a list of people, types of people on Facebook, and we'll have to do that list. But I want to know if the on the list, maybe you can pull that up right now, actually, Glenn, because I want to know if this is the kind of person that's on the list of Facebook people. So an eventer in California posted a picture of a very beautiful bay horse, and the caption next to the beautiful horses, help, need to find this lovely guy a home ASAP. He's a six-year-old 16 three-hand Dutch gelding by Pharaoh. I have 72 hours to find him a home or else, ... He is free. She posted that at least a day ago, 24 hours ago. She said she's got 72 hours. 4,000 people have commented, and she has not replied 4, one time.
4,000 people have commented?
I mean, not 4,000, but a couple hundred people have commented, like, hey, what's the details? Is he broke? Is he crazy? Are you still looking for a home? Do you have any more details? Do you need more pictures? What's his story? Blah, blah, blah. There's no response from this person. That irritates me to no end. I actually commented myself, and I said, don't you hate it when someone posts like something like this and doesn't give any more details or updates? Ah! And like 100 people have clicked like on my post because it's so irritating. Oh, my gosh. Or else what? What's wrong with him? What's going on? How can we help you? And then they don't write any updates. So that's one of the things that irritates me, and I just had to go and vent for a second. Do you know what I'm talking about, Glenn?
Yeah, and I wonder, you wonder if it's real, if it was a dealer, you know, then you start to wonder, right?
Well, it's legitimate eventer. I mean, I know this person. Well, I know of her. I know her name. I don't know why we're friends on Facebook, but whatever. I'm going to unfriend her after this because it irritates me that much.
Anything else? Everything else okay out at Flyover Farm? The horses are coming back into health again, and you really did do a good service by talking about this, because we did have a couple of people that discovered, went out and looked at their hay and discovered the problem, right? We had a couple of listeners that found that.
I know. I was so hesitant to talk about it because it's something that has been going on in front of my face. But ever since we have the vet clinic near here has four vets. Two vets said that it was not the hay, that's Timothy, which is exactly what I thought those little pods were. I thought it was Timothy. They look very similar. So I felt better now knowing that all these vets, and this guy's been a vet for like 100 years, all these vets, nobody else knew. I do think that they learned something from me. And why do I always have to be the a-hole who teaches the vets new things? I mean, seriously?
There should be a discount for that, by the way.
I know. I think so. I mean, you've never seen this before, and I had to teach you how to do it, and then you're going to bill me? Really? No, you should thank me and send me on my way.
Now, does the state charge you for the VS test, too?
No, they pay for those.
Oh, wow, that's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
Thank
God. There are like eight of those, right?
Six of them. My God, I couldn't afford that. So, yeah. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. And I'm really thankful that the Hay guy was as decent as he was. And thank you guys for listening to me vent. And I'm gonna head out and destroy my fingernails and cuticles again and flush my horse's mouth out.
Well,
with salt water.
I know you had Jennifer looking at our hay. I know you had Jennifer out there looking at our hay too. Yeah. And I was like looking inside Scooter's mouth and seeing if. Yeah, I think you had everybody listening out there turning lips, going, sure. So, yeah,
I'm glad. I mean, how long have we had horses? My whole entire life, and I've never had this, really heard of it, dealt with it, thought I could get it in my hay. I mean, I've cheap hay, crappy hay, sure. This kind of hay, I pay top dollar for my hay. I don't get cheap hay, and I don't get crappy hay. And my good hay had this in it, so it can happen to anybody. And, it's something that's very real and very scary. And I guarantee you I'm going to be a paranoid, schizophrenic freak for the rest of my life buying hay. Oh, my God. What is this? What is this? I don't know. I can't buy this.
What's
I don't
this
know.
Little thing in the hay?
Yeah.
I wonder if we should ask the question of the day, Jennifer, to put on Facebook. What's the most unusual thing you've found in the hay? For example, we found snakes before. We found various critters before. So there's the question of the day. What is the most unusual thing you've found in your hay? For example, a snake or something like that. Have you ever found a critter in your hay?
I don't want to answer that because I don't want to jinx myself. I did find a Coke can that had been squished in the baler.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, that would be bad for your mouth, too.
Yeah. I think they would eat that.
Nope.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have had snakes and various critters in the hay. So we have come across that in the past. I wonder what
if
people
I
have found.
If I found a snake in my hay, I'd be dead because it would be like a... you know, rattlesnake.
Well, snake was dead too. The snake had been dead, and it was squished in there. The baler got it.
But it's still paranoia
finding
about
parts
my
in the hay. You know, it's still finding snake parts in your hay. It's still pretty gross.
I just get chills. Okay, open
all right. Let's say goodbye, everybody. We'll be back. Don't forget to get our app. It's the easiest way to listen to. I can't tell you how many people's phones I took out over the weekend and downloaded the app for them. So go to the App Store, iOS or Android, and just search for Horse Radio Network. It's the simplest, easiest way to listen to the show. We'll see y'all tomorrow morning, 9 a.m. Eastern.
Spay, neuter, geld.
Get that saline water out.
Ugh, I'm on my way.